Living the Good Life from Clearwater, Florida, live as always on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock Tampa time. So we're so glad you've joined us. And we are from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater. And I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Connie Farmer's right here in the studio with me today. That's pretty cool to have you right here. Yeah. Last few times we've not been able to pull that off. So it's nice to have you right here. And Betty Thomas up in Indiana is going to join us in a little while.
If she thaws out.
Yeah. If she thaws out, is she still pretty much knee-deep in snow?
Yeah, she's pretty resentful.
She's resentful?
Yeah. She posted something on Facebook about all those Florida people.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll have to ask her about it.
We'll have to ask her about it, yeah, because, hey, we can't have bad attitudes, you know.
Don't hate.
Yes, don't hate. We had our Christmas service. Well, one of them. We're having a couple of them.
Let me see what she wrote.
Christmas service this morning at Beacon of Hope.
That was great. Christmas service.
It was great, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was really fun. And then we had our White Elephant gift exchange after, and everybody got some delightful presents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Somebody took my ankle weights.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I know who did.
Tony.
Yeah. So, but
she's going to use them.
You ever played a White Elephant Christmas thing, Cedric?
Yeah.
Fun, isn't it?
Yeah, but you sort of get gag gifts, though, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm scarred for life.
Yeah, Connie's scarred over this.
They always steal my stuff.
Everybody steals, because you can steal somebody's gift that they've opened, you know, instead of taking another one under the tree.
Yeah, they always steal mine.
And Connie always loses
her
stuff.
Because I always get good ones.
And then they're gone.
Yeah.
So
now I got a car organizer thing to strap on the back of my seat with a cup holder that I have to reach around to get my cup out.
In other words, gag gift.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all gag gifts.
They're all gag gifts.
They want to gag you.
But it's fun. It's
fun. I think the last time I did that, it was like a 12-pack of Coca-Cola.
Okay, there you go.
And I wrapped the box up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody does crazy things, but we just came from there, so we're feeling still a little silly, but that doesn't matter. We're going to have a
really
great show.
Some really good gifts that the guys got.
Yeah.
Some really nice purses and stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, hey, it's always fun. So we're excited to be here today and to share the Word of God with you, as always, and great music. Connie, you're our music director of the show. You have been since April of 07 when we started this. Can you believe that we are in our 7th year on the air?
No.
It's gone quickly, has it not?
It has.
I mean, it's just been crazy. Flown by, so busy. And but it's exciting to know what God's doing. And so we're glad you have tuned in today. And we're going to have a great time in the Word of God. But a lot of people are using the prayer line more so than ever before, Connie.
Praise God.
Don't you think that's fantastic? I mean, we have people from several states that are using it now. And they're telling their friends and their family members.
Because they're hearing that. They get results.
It's just prayer. It's just believing prayer. We got a crew of people at Beacon of Hope that believe God. And we'll talk about that when Betty comes on in a minute, because she was certainly the recipient of a lot of prayer this week. And so we'll let her tell that story about what God has been doing. But we welcome you out there in Radio Land. Use our prayer line. There's no fee or anything like that. It's totally free. And it is prayers, just one word, prayers, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, at BOHMGlobal.com, and that stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, so it's easier to remember. We used to have it all say Beacon of Hope Ministries, Connie, and I think a lot of people didn't get that spelled right. And
yeah, they probably didn't get the
whole remembered it all.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, so yeah. So now it is prayers at BOHMGlobal.com, because it is global. So wherever you are in the globe, as you are listening to this show now or later on our website, you can use our prayer line and send your requests in. Connie, what happens when they send a request, and where does it go?
It goes to, there's a group of people that it goes to at first.
Right. You and me, we're part of that.
And then, but mostly it's Carol and Pastor Jim that are,
right.
That are sending out the prayers.
Right.
And then they send it out with a prayer attached. So that really, if you're busy, all you have to do is just read it and you're already praying the prayer.
Right. And which is really good, don't you think? It's not a matter of sitting there thinking up a prayer. You just put yourself in agreement with what has been written. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea of a prayer is that we be in agreement. It says in Matthew, Jesus said, where two or three are in agreement, you know, there I am in their midst. So when, you know, we're talking a ton of people, not two or three on the prayer line, but you get a lot of prayers that are sincere. And maybe they will never meet you on this earth, but if they are a part of your miracle through prayer and praise and thanksgiving, wow, isn't that cool?
Yeah, there's people on our prayer team that are extended members from out all across the country. And at one point, a couple of them were stationed in Korea.
Out of the country.
Out of the country. So,
right.
That, you know, we're a worldwide ministry. So
absolutely. So we invite you to use the prayer line. Do it. And this new year, as we start this new year, we are going to be emphasizing the praise reports coming back more than what we have been, Connie. I mean, because it is time to make sure God gets the glory and the praise for all these answers. You know, we get excited when we get here, the praise report. We get excited on, you know, a church or whatever. But we need to do a better job this new year of emphasizing the praise reports. Let those go out more, too, you know. So more than just a prayer line, a prayer and praise line, you know. So that's our goal for the new year. And we're going to see God move in a lot of unusual and difficult situations. Betty, are you on the line?
I am here.
Are you frozen, Miss Betty?
Yeah. But, hey, let's change the subject. It's only 21 degrees up here. We have a wind chill of almost zero.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's cold. It's cold. But you know what? It's warm in here because the Holy Spirit is here.
And you're on fire.
You're on fire. And you still go out and feed all your horses and all your llamas and your aardvarks and all those things that you are growing there on that ranch. You're out there in the cold doing all that and feeding them all the time, aren't you?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yeah, it's just, you know what? I'm kind of like the mailman. You know, through, you know, rain, sleet, snow, and hail.
I didn't know where she was going with that.
You've got to go out and feed the animals.
We had no clue where you were going with that, like you're the mailman. All right, so that's great.
You never know where I'm going sometimes, do you?
We never know, Betty. You're just totally crazy and not well. But anyway, speaking of not being well, we just talked about the prayer line and how God is using that. And you have personally in your family had a miracle this week, have you not?
Amen.
Oh, yes, ma'am. It's just amazing that what can happen when prayer warriors join arm in arm and approach the throne of grace.
Amen.
The throne of glory. My daughter, who is just at five months in the family way.
Pregnant? You mean pregnant? Do you say that word in Indiana? Family way.
Well, you know, there might be some listeners out there that, you know, don't like that
just
word.
Just call it like it is.
She's in the family way.
I am. I always try to be nice and be religious. And, you know,
I don't think you even know the word pregnant, do you? But anyway.
No, not anymore. Not
born in the oven.
he was there was a little boy in the oven.
Yes.
And
cooking.
He was through Phonogram. The doctor thought that he, you listen to this, this is the past tense, had a diaphragmatic hernia, which causes the intestines and the organs to leach up into the chest cavity.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so an amniocentesis was done, and it rules out different markers. Connie probably can be more elaborate than I can, but we prayed for our first miracle that these chromosome abnormalities do not exist in this little man of God that is in utero.
Right.
And the next day, God answered that prayer because my daughter got a call back from
Megan. That's Megan, who was on the air last week.
Indiana. She's in Indiana, too.
Yeah, she's part of the prayer or part of this radio team. Go ahead.
Yes, and she's also part of the prayer mm-hmm. team.
Right.
The God Squad.
The God Squad, yes.
Right. And so got the answer back the next day that three of those chromosomes were negative.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
So on that, I'd like for you lovely ladies and the prayer warriors out there that January 7th that we're praying and declaring.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Standing and believing by faith that God's going to perform a miracle that will change the life of that little boy and all of the people that have prayed.
Amen.
That when they do an MRI on January 7th, God's completion, that's his number.
That's
God's
right.
Completion. Is that not right, Pastor?
That is right.
Mm-hmm. That they're going to walk out after that MRI, and they're going to look at Megan, they're going to look at Ben, and they're going to say, we made a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There is no hole in his diaphragm.
Right. Mm-hmm. We're going to agree.
His heart is on the left side of his chest.
Right.
Every organ is in place
right.
where
mm-hmm.
it should be. You're going to have a normal baby.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's our confession,
that's what we're declaring,
and we agree.
Believing.
We agree
Amen.
With you. So be it. Woo. Mm-hmm. We'll talk
Amen.
More in a minute.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Connie, what's this first song?
This is, I actually thought it was a new song, but it's actually, and Betty, I'm sorry, my internet was down last night, so I couldn't send you the itinerary.
Okay.
It's called You're Here by Francesca Battistelli. And it's just talking about Jesus coming to earth.
Yeah.
And what he came here to do.
Woo! Well, we want to hear this. Let's go.
Amen.
We love her.
Take a deep breath. I don't know what to say when I look in your eyes. You made the world before I was born, but here I am holding you in my arms tonight. Nowhere, nowhere, Jesus, sorry, man. the god became a baby boy. Someday you're gonna go home again, but you leave your spirit and flood the world with joy.
From the perspective of Mary, isn't it? Oh, holding baby Jesus, you are here. Woo! Do you like that song, Betty? Have you ever heard it?
I have never heard that song, but I tell you what, it makes you think about, you know, during this time of season, what Mary and Joseph thought.
Wow,
you know,
yes.
Back at the time of the Immaculate Conception and then also then the birth of our Savior.
Amen. Woo! Which takes us to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, a prophecy that was spoken to all of Israel back 700 or 800 years before Jesus did come. And it says this through the mouth of Isaiah. So the master is going to give you a sign. Watch for this. A girl who is presently a virgin will get pregnant. She'll bear a son and name him Emmanuel, God with us. And we see over in Matthew chapter 1, we can run over there a minute, and we can see where the angel that spoke to Joseph, and last week's show was all about Joseph. If you missed it, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and catch up with it because it was really a good show, what God did there with Nathan and Megan. But if you go to Matthew chapter 1 and look at about verse 22 or 3, the angel says to Joseph in the dream that Mary will bring forth a son. And when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus, which means God saves, because he will save his people from their sins. And this would bring the prophet's sermon to full term. And this is, he quotes it right here. The angel quotes Isaiah 7:14. And here's what he says. Watch for this. A virgin will get pregnant and bear a son. They will name him Emmanuel, Hebrew for God is with us. And then Joseph woke up and did exactly what God's angel had told him to do, which is so cool. I love the fact, Connie and Betty, that the prophecies go clear back to the book of Genesis. The first one was in Genesis 3, that this Messiah would come from a woman, born of a woman, bruise the head of the serpent, which Jesus did on the cross, the serpent meaning Jesus, or meaning Satan, and Jesus took it, you know, by his death on the cross. Whoa. He took all of the sins and sicknesses that we have for everyone on his body on the cross. All we have to do is acknowledge and receive that. So it goes clear back, and some of the prophecies, he would come from the line of Abraham. He told Abraham in the book of Genesis that the Messiah would come through his line. Then he said he would come through the line of David and the tribe of Judah. All these things were fulfilled. And Mary came from the line of the line of Abraham and David. And she came through one of David's sons, Nathan. And Joseph came through one of Nathan's sons, Solomon. So it's just really cool how God fulfilled prophecy after prophecy, even being born in Bethlehem. There's so many prophecies that were fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. That's pretty exciting. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. And let's look there. And I want to get you two involved in this. And Isaiah 9, again, 700 or 800 years before Jesus came to this earth, it was prophesied through the prophet Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Who is that light? Jesus, right? Jesus even said when he came to this earth, it's one of the seven I am statements he made in his discourse through the book of John about he was I am seven times. This is one of them. I am the light of the world, which is John 8:12. So it was prophesied 700 or 800 years before Jesus came to this earth that he would be the light. And for those who lived in a land of deep shadows, light, sunbursts of light. You repopulated the nation. You expanded its joy. Oh, they're so glad in your presence, which we know that we are so glad in the presence of Almighty God. Festival joy. There's joy in the presence of the Lord. Wow. The joy of a great celebration, sharing rich gifts and warm greetings. We had a big celebration today, celebrating the birth of Jesus. Betty talked to me about that. Isn't it cool that this gift of the Son of God to mankind brings great joy? Woo!
Oh, he, you know, it's amazing to me how people during just this time of year can't manage to understand the gift that was given.
Right.
And, you know, if we could share this love more than just once during the year.
Right.
How much more great that the name of Jesus would be to those that do not know him.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's just like we celebrated at a church we attended today. Today, you know, on the 25th is Jesus' birthday.
Right, 10 days from now.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and it's when you put it in that perspective, children begin to want to ask questions about who is this baby that was born, you know?
Right.
And it brings such joy to hear children talk about Jesus. Even Andrew, yesterday we attended another fellowship and saw a picture, just a picture of a baby in a manger. And he goes, that's baby Jesus.
Yeah. And he's only three, almost four.
Three. He'll be four next month. But it's just that kind of
right.
impact that one named Emmanuel had on back then and more of an impact that he has today.
Oh, amen. Amen. But, you know, I think a lot of people don't have any clue that God had this plan. Don't you think, Connie? I think this is something that people don't get. They don't get.
No, they don't get it. And you know, I guess this is how I came to my hole in the heart thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
You can explain your hole in the heart thing. Go right ahead.
I was thinking about this when I was doing the music last night because this one song, Farther Down, Strange Way to Save the World.
Right.
You know, he had, and like you said today, he had all of this in mind from the beginning.
From the beginning.
And because he knew we were going to sin, he knew we were going to need a Savior.
Right.
But he put together the whole plan so that all we had to do was believe on him.
That's it.
And
one of the things that blesses me so much about all this is that these prophecies, which started clear back in Genesis and carry through the Word, show the continuity of God the Father, that it was totally intentional, all of this. Oh. And the timing was perfect, absolutely perfect timing.
His timing.
Yes, God's timing.
And he purposely made a spot for every single one of us that we, in our hearts, in our souls, whatever you want to call it, that we need him.
Yes.
And that nothing else fills that spot except for him.
That's that hole in the heart you're talking about.
Right. And those people who try to fill it with everything but him
right.
are always going to end up empty.
Yes. Yes. Because we have that vacuum, that so to speak, that mm-hmm. place in us that needs God. Talk mm-hmm. to me about that, Betty. Connie's right on about this.
Oh, she hit the nail on the head. You know, it's just like watching people at, you know, in a retail establishment is that they buy a stocking and they try to fill it with as much material things as they possibly can.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
But if you would take that stocking and fill it, which would be the stocking would be your heart, be your soul, that how much more you would be fulfilled with the joy and the love of Jesus Christ than any material possession.
Oh, absolutely.
What material possession could give you joy? It's just, it's amazing to me, still today, the correlation of what translates between the Old Testament and the New Testament, that they told it back in the Old Testament, he's coming. He's
right.
coming.
Yeah.
And then the child, you know, then the child is, you know, then the child appears, and it's just people saying, oh, there's no correlation between the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Oh.
Like, yes, there is.
Well, it just totally fulfills and shows that God had this plan from before the foundation of the earth. He had the plan, like Connie said, he knew we were going to need a Savior. You know, we were going to need a Savior. That's why his name was Jesus, God saves. That's his name, because it wasn't some other type of a name. He had to be named Jesus because God was making a point. God the Father was saying, here's your Savior. Here's his name, Jesus, you know? Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that God is so intentional, and he's so on time, and he's so goal-oriented. You know what I'm saying? He's got a goal. He's headed there. And so he speaks through prophets all through the Old Testament. Talk to me about that, Connie. I mean, goal-oriented is pretty good.
He's goal-oriented, but he's a gentleman, and he doesn't force it on anybody.
That's true.
So he sets it all up. The whole plan's there. It's like a big insurance policy, and you can either buy into it, and you don't. It doesn't cost you any money. It just costs
right.
you for it costs you to ask him into your life.
Amen. Right.
And it's available for everybody.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And
Amen.
the same premiums, the same benefits.
Benefits.
It is the same from one person to the next.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him
exactly.
should not perish but have everlasting life. But the key here is belief.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what happens at this time of year for a lot of people is they get so sidetracked in the gift giving
mm-hmm.
and the parties and all of that, that they forget it's all about the gift. It's
the
not
one and only
the
gift.
One and only gift. It's not about the gift giving. It is about the fact that God is the giver.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who gave the gift. Betty, talk to us about that, because I think that is huge right now at this time of year. We've got to get our minds to the place where we realize how important that gift is. And his name is Jesus.
Well, I think that when you look at it from a perspective of he was the greatest gift.
Amen.
How could you mm-hmm. ever top that? Diamonds will make her speechless. Well, what happened to the fact that, you know, God gave his only son? Now,
right.
he has us as children, but he sacrificed the lamb.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And I remember years ago, this was back in Indiana, Newcastle, and we were making a correlation between the Old Testament and the New Testament with, you know, what they had to do, the sacrifices that they made and the sacrifices that Jesus made.
Right.
And this is before, you know, we even talked to this one little guy. I can't remember his name. But he said, you know, Jesus gave his only lamb.
Right.
And he said that they wouldn't have to be any more animals killed.
Right.
Because God, our Father, gave his only lamb.
Right.
And he said, do you know that Jesus was a shepherd? And that he did. He was trying to correlate that.
Right.
There were animals that had to be, you know,
right.
sacrificed. But after Jesus, there were no more animals that
right.
had to be killed.
Right.
Because God gave his only son,
Woo.
The Lamb of God.
No more
and
blood had to be
I tell
shed.
You, you know, when it comes out of the mouth of a child,
right.
that's how we have to be, Pastor.
Oh,
and
I
Connie,
know. Yeah.
Because our hearts have to be so pliable and so open to what the Lord has for us. And for us to be able to receive a gift that, you know, we can't return that favor, only that he gave so that we could receive.
Well, absolutely. And what's so cool about this gift of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, this is the ultimate gift that keeps on giving, okay? Because it's full of peace. He's full. Well, let's look at it right here in Isaiah 9. On down a few verses. For a child has been born for us. This is a prophecy 800 years before it ever was. The gift of a son for us. He'll take over the running of the world. Ah, now we know what he's doing. His names will be Amazing Counselor. Here's a gift that keeps on giving. You need counseling in your life? Jesus is the Amazing Counselor through the Holy Spirit. He talks to us, teaches us, shows us what to do. Strong God, love it. Eternal Father, Prince of Wholeness, it says in
Wholeness
in the Message Bible. I like that. Prince of Peace in the New American Standard. In the New American Standard, it's talking about he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace, which is four names. Okay, I think that's interesting because North, South, East, and West, that worldwide effect of God, and it basically, this hits every area in our lives. Wonderful, his name shall be Wonderful Counselor. Wow, he just affects our emotions, you know, and gets in there and teaches us. Mighty God, when our faith is weak and we need to realize that God can intervene, like last week, Betty, with your family. Mighty God, wow, you know. Eternal Father, when we need to run to him, there he is. He's right there. And Prince of Peace. I don't know about the two of you, but I think these four worldwide attributes of Jesus are just huge in our lives. And we need to really walk and talk those, you know. Talk to me, Betty, and then we'll get back to Connie here on that.
Well, I think, Pastor, that we are a promise was fulfilled.
Right.
At that point in time.
Right.
I mean, there are promises and promises and promises all throughout, you know, through the Bible. But that one promise is that God is telling even the people in the Old Testament.
Right.
He's coming.
He's coming.
He's coming. And it may have taken a while, maybe, you know, from generation to generation they didn't see it. But if you look back, even in our generation, he's coming. And he's coming in life. He's coming. He's bringing us life. And that's what he brings us. He brings us life.
Amen.
He brings it abundantly. And his giving just keeps on giving. And you know what? When we receive that gift, that is the greatest gift.
Oh,
we can receive.
When we start walking in this, I mean, Connie, when we start walking with the Mighty Counselor, he has a way of showing us things in our lives, does he not, that we mm-hmm. need to go with. And mm-hmm. and sometimes he corrects us, and sometimes he just says, okay, you're on the right road here. Just hang on. Just keep going, you know, whatever. And the Mighty God, when our faith is weak, we've all experienced that, right?
Amen.
Think about maybe something that you liked, like this last week, Betty, with Megan and the baby. And you had that little bit, maybe that little faint of doubt mm-hmm. and wondering where he was in all of this. And then, but all we did, we all banded together and you knew we were praying with you all.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, you just knew it was going to be okay.
Right.
Well, when we were interceding
mm-hmm.
without ceasing is what the prayer warriors across the country were doing at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And even my husband, Joe,
mm-hmm.
told Megan, when I woke up from the day that they were supposed to get the results, he had a peace.
Mm. Right.
He said that peace passed all understanding. And he was crying because there are so many things because, you know, when during our weakness, that's when he's strong.
Ooh.
And that's when we have to become warriors. And, I mean, we have to kick in, and I'm maybe going off the track here.
Oh, go ahead.
We have to kick in the gates of hell.
Right.
Because the intent on that was to weaken our faith. Because,
absolutely.
You know, we'll exactly. see what happened. You know, you did this and you did that, and this is what's going to happen. You know, he's going to perish. And it's like,
no.
I'm afraid not, because my God is stronger. My God,
mighty God, mighty God,
mighty God. He is a counselor. He is the great I am. He is the healer. I mean, I can go on and on and on. He is Jehovah Rapha. I mean, I can just keep going on with the names, that the Prince of Wholeness.
Yes.
And that's what we all declared on that day. God's promise was fulfilled.
Amen.
That's what he can do for all listeners of this program.
That's right.
If you have a need, that gift of Jesus can change your life.
Woo! It reminds me of the verse, I think, to Holy Ground, which says, if you have a need, I know he has the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out and touch him.
Yeah.
Reach out and claim it. You know, and I think so often we don't realize how powerful this whole story of Christmas time is. And it should be life-changing in our lives, where we realize that God's decided to take on flesh in the form of a son. Jesus took on our flesh, our humanity, and came to this earth so he could be more in touch with us than ever before. Talk to us, Connie.
I have a close friend who started texting me this week. Never texted really much before. But for certain reasons, he decided that he was going to learn to text. And anyway, he just said,
"Well, good for him." And then he enjoys it, right?
Yeah. And he texted me, and he said, "You know, I just feel so far away from Jesus." And I said, "All you have to do is reach out and touch him, because he's right there.
Amen.
He never leaves you.
That's right.
He's always there. You're the one who forgot about him being there.
Right."
I said, "So reach out and touch him." And I gave him a couple of scriptures to read, and
praise God.
So he just said, "Thank you. I could tell that he was there, and he's so wonderful." And
well, he is. He is that wonderful counselor. You know, that amazing, amazing God. And it's just a matter of us reaching out. And some of you out there in Radio Land, maybe like this person that Connie's talking about, have felt far away from the presence of God. And I think, Betty, when we're going through trials, sometimes we feel like, God, where are you? Why are you allowing this trial? But it's been my experience, and you can comment on this, Betty, the trials bring us closer to God if we get on board with what God is doing.
Totally, 100%. And we've all been there. We've all had situations in our life that are less than uplifting. That's when we have to turn, because like I said before, you know, during our weakness, during our trials, during our tribulations, that's when we need to turn to the Lord.
Amen.
Because there was a thing that was posted many, many, many weeks ago about, you know, during a test, the teacher is usually quiet. But what we have to remember is that God is with us.
Right.
He is the God of angel armies. He is never going
yeah,
to leave
always
us
on
nor
our
forsake
side.
Us.
Yeah.
During those times when we think we're drowning, that man walked on water.
Right.
That man, the woman that wanted to just touch the hem of his garment.
Yes.
If we just have that little mustard seed of faith and understand that even though we can't see him, and this is when I went through, here we go. We went through this week.
Are you going to cry?
I'm probably going to start bawling here.
Okay, go right ahead.
It's okay, I've been teary-eyed.
Yeah, we'll cry with you.
Is that, this is probably the most intense thing that I've prayed about in many, many months. Now, right. I mean, because it affects my family.
Sure.
And I mean, I can pray for whomever through
somebody
the prayer,
else.
You know, through our wonderful prayer team, our prayer ministry. But when it hits home,
it's your grandson, for heaven's sake. And it's just like me with my great granddaughters a few months back.
With you know, A and B.
A and B.
it affects you physically.
Right.
Spiritually.
It sure does.
Because Satan wants to put that little tinge of fear.
Yes.
That little tinge of worry.
Yeah, doubt.
And it's like, I had to say I gave into it a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, you're human, aren't you?
Because I'm human. And but you know what God told me? You know, Betty Lou.
Yeah.
Be still. Me, you know, the one with the jaws, the one that talks a lot.
Betty Be still. Hush up, Betty.
here it comes, Connie. Be still. Know that I am God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then not 5 minutes later, I had to go in and go into, actually, I had to eat. And I picked up a bracelet that we had gotten when Andrew Kramer was born.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the back of that thing said?
No.
Again, be still and know that I am
God. Oh, how about that?
So there's I knew that the Lord was trying to speak to me, and he's trying to pull me up because he need that little boy in utero needed his Mimi.
Right.
And I was not going to let him down.
Right.
Because God promised that we're proclaiming and declaring that my God, by Jesus' stripes, that little boy is healed.
Amen.
And you know what? As soon as I just said the name of Jesus, it came about. It hit home. The darkness became light.
Woo!
Mm-hmm. My, you know, I came alive. You know what? And it's like it speaks life into the lifeless. It speaks to people who are dying and in need of Jesus, that when he comes, that ascension, that they cross over, that he's there with them. So if he's there with me, he can be there with you wherever you are. And it still blows my mind that the little boy that was born in a manger to a virgin named Mary still does for me what he can do for you. He
Amen.
Does it more abundantly.
Woo.
He put the warrior back into you. Not that it was gone, but he reminded you of the warrior that you are.
You know, Connie, that is the gospel truth, because there comes a point in your life where you feel like that you're not worthy enough, that you are below what you used to be. Well, you know what God showed me? He took me above
right.
I used to be.
Right.
That's right.
He showed me a different depth of his love.
Amen.
He showed me a different depth of where he can take us once that we give a total surrender, a total sacrifice of
That's
God.
It right there, girl.
Laying before him, and I never can say that word right, laying on the floor, because I never can say that word.
Prostate. Anyhow, flat out.
Down on the floor. Let's don't even go there.
Prostrate.
Prostrate.
Because he wants us just as we are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that we don't have to clean up our act.
Woo.
That he's there. He's there. He's been there all the time. Maybe I'm the one that left him, because he hasn't changed. He hasn't changed over the 2013 years that he's, you know, that I've, you know, in 2013. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Well, the bottom line is exactly what was prophesied in Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For those who lived in a land of deep shadows, light, sunburst of light. And that's what God's doing. We're going to play this song. Mary, did you know? I love this song because we're going to talk about Mary here. We're going to go over to Luke chapter 1. If you're following us in the scripture, let's go there and we'll be there in a minute after this song. Mary, did you know? What do you think there was going through this young girl's heart and mind? Oh, Betty, thanks for sharing that. I know that's difficult for you to talk about. Mary, did you know? And then we're going to catch up with you in a minute on the other side of this song.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels try? When you've kissed your little baby, then you've kissed the face of God.
The Great I Am, that's who he was. What a song. Betty, you're crying?
Yeah. What?
I mean, think about Mary, this young girl, so obedient to God. I started the sermon this morning with a verse from 2 Chronicles. It's probably one of my favorite verses. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Connie, you've heard me quote it how many hundreds of times through the years of ministry at Beacon? For the eyes of the Lord range to and fro around the earth, looking for those whose hearts are truly his. 2 Chronicles 16:9. That applies to Mary and to Joseph. They were in the right place at the right time, but it more important than that, they had the right heart. Mm-hmm. They both had a heart of obedience. We talked about Joseph last week. The whole show we devoted to Joseph. If you missed it, go back to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and listen to that show. It was Megan and Nathan and I. It was a great show. And I say that very...
All the time
I say that. But it really was. And it's just because... And every time the angel came to Joseph in a dream four times, it follows with Joseph obeyed. He got up and did. He did. He followed. He obeyed. He had a heart after God. Mary did too. Oh, my gosh. Connie, talk to me about that, because don't you think that's the key here, is following the leading of God in our lives?
I mean, we can't, unless we're in tune with him, we can't know what he wants for us.
Right.
And no amount of anything that we can do can make something happen unless it's in line with his plan.
Yeah.
So
we got to get on board with his plan.
Yeah. So,
but it's so hard for us, isn't it? I mean, Mary, obviously, she just took it and said, yes, okay, you know?
Well, I think, you know, when you're growing up, you know, everybody's asking you, what are you going to be when you grow up? What are you going to be? What are you studying in college? What do you, you know? And so I think that no matter what career path you choose, job-wise or career, it doesn't matter what you do with to make money.
Right.
But it's what you do with your heart.
Right.
With the people that you're around and that you come in contact with.
Yes. How are you affecting lives? Mm-hmm. Look how Mary has affected all of us for 2,000 plus years. In Luke chapter 1, we know that the angel Gabriel came to Mary in Elizabeth's 6 months of pregnancy. So John the Baptist was about 6 months older than John, or than Jesus, his cousin. And the angel says, good morning, he's saying this to Mary, you're beautiful with God's beauty. I love that. Psalm 5:12 says he surrounds us with favor like a shield. And here he is saying that very thing. Beautiful. You are beautiful. You have favor. In some translations, it says, Mary, O favored one. Okay. You're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. God be with you. I love the fact here in verse 20, whatever that is here, 29, that even though it says that Mary was thoroughly shaken, it does not say that she started saying, that's impossible. You know, she did not start speaking words of doubt and unbelief. Instead, she was wondering what was behind a greeting like that, being told that you're favored, that you're beautiful, that you're really cool. And guys, we got to get this down on the inside of us personally. God sees beauty in each of us. We are highly favored. And I think, Betty, a lot of us walk around feeling like God is out to get us and punish us, and that we cannot do anything right because bad things happen to good people, and we think that's coming as a punishment from God. Talk to me about that, Betty, and then we'll go to Connie on that.
Well, I hate to tell them, but they're wrong.
Okay, go ahead, tell them.
I'm going to tell you right now, if you were created in God's image,
amen,
how could you not be beautiful?
There you go.
Mm-hmm. The one thing that people have to realize is that sometimes our greatest tests are our greatest testimonies.
Sure.
And it all boils down to is that faith is what we have to hold on to.
Right.
He gives us grace and he gives us mercy.
Amen.
And he would not do anything to hurt us.
Right.
Because he's the loving God who, you know, he'll blind people. He did miraculous things for people just like you and I. I mean, they weren't royalty. They weren't, you know, the highest of the highest. These were the people who were just like us, were the middle class, the low
ordinary
class.
People.
Ordinary people. And
right.
So you out there, listeners, who are listening now and who will listen later on, is that you were created in God's image.
Amen.
Remember that. Get it deep down into your soul. And when you look into the mirror, at some point, all you have to say is, I'm God's child. I am who I am. I am who God created. And it's greater in he that is in me than he that is in the world. And realize that you are so precious to him.
Amen.
That he loves you inside and out, that he's your heavenly father, and he loves us more than anything else in this entire world. He loves us.
Amen.
That's why he died, because he loves
absolutely
us.
And do you notice here, Connie, and then Betty, he doesn't say, you are the perfect one that I've looked for. we know from 2 Chronicles 16:9 that God's eyes roam the earth looking for those whose heart is completely his. It does not say those who are perfect in every way. And I think we take a lot of condemnation, people do, because we think we're not good enough that we, you know, we are, we should actually, here's what I'm trying to get at, we should actually think that the tests that we go through in life are a blessing, mm-hmm. not a punishment.
True. To bring out what we used to call our true grit, show
right.
our true
right.
true colors, our true
right.
feelings, and what we're really made of, our sustenance.
Yes.
I was thinking, Betty, as you were talking, the Matthew West song, Hello, My Name Is, and it's Child of the One True King.
Woo! Yeah. That's true. Yeah. And, you know, Mary does not sit here and say, I'm not worthy to carry the Son of God. She does not argue with the angel and say, do you know who I am? I'm a little peasant girl, and I'm a 14 or 13-year-old girl, you know? Why me? She does not argue. I love this about Mary. In fact, the words that I love so much that came from her are down in verse 38. She says, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. She took her assignment seriously. Betty, we got to start taking our assignments seriously.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. And when God tells us to do something, I mean, it can be through a dream,
right.
through a vision, through his word. It's like, people, we got to wake up.
Amen.
And we have got to get rid of the religious attributes that we have acquired over the years. Let the Holy Spirit get down deep within us and let him guide us. Let him, I think you always have said, like an peeling away like an onion.
Right.
Is that he has got to take us down to the breaking point so that he can make us who he wants us to be. Not who we want to be, but who he wants us to be. And Mary was so, I think, enthralled to know that her God gave her, first of all, the gift of life. That she was able to give something that no other person could give. She was, you know, she was the one that was chosen, that she was going to have the Son of God.
It's just amazing.
She was going to have the great Redeemer. She was going to have the one that sits at the right hand of God.
Woo.
I mean, it would just, today in this world, again, we have to be so in tune with what God wants us to be. And if we're, you know, he's going to bring us back. He's going to bring us back into alignment with his word and his promises. But we have to be so in tune and so right on and so broken that all we want is just more of him.
Oh, that's it. That's why Mary stands out. Not because she had an education. She didn't. Not because she came from a king or a child of a king and queen, or she was in the bloodline of Jesus, yes. But it wasn't because of Mary's accomplishments. It was because of her heart. Connie talked to me about that before. We're getting ready for station ID here in just about a minute.
I think that it's not necessarily taking us to our breaking point. Because that sounds like something somebody wouldn't want to do.
Right.
But it's a point where he makes us understand and we realize that he loves us beyond any kind of love that we've ever had before. And it makes us want to do the right thing and want to live like him and do what he wants and follow his lead for our life and making differences in other people's lives.
Absolutely.
So and it's just words. It's just the difference of words, and I'm not criticizing you, Betty. I'm just saying that, you know, it's more enticing probably to know that he wants us to be on his side, and he wants
Amen.
us to see. You know, and I remember what you were talking about earlier exactly, Betty, but one thing I kept thinking was, you kept saying he's on our side. And you know, for some of us who never felt like you really had somebody who stuck up for you, to know that he is out there saying, this is my love, this is my person, my person that I care about, and you're not gonna do things to her.
Yeah.
You know, that says a lot.
Woo. Amen. That's because of his great love for us.
Right.
His great love. Woo, we gotta go to station ID.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, where we're crying a lot today. And I've got Betty in Indiana, one of our radio team members.
Betty's crying.
Connie's right here in the studio crying. So we got a crying thing going on here. But you know what it is? It's because the Holy Spirit is moving on our hearts and causing us to realize that he loves us so very much. Mm-hmm. And he is on our side, and he does care about the details of our lives. And he isn't just some God that you can't be in contact with. You can be in contact with him every minute of the day. It's simply Jesus. There he is. He's there.
Yeah, it's not like it's this our Father who art in heaven.
Right.
I would be thy name.
Right.
You know?
It's like, not the these and thous.
Hey, it's me again.
Right.
I screwed up.
Right.
Help me out.
Yep.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And when we feel like our faith is weak, when we feel like we've messed up, or when we feel like we're far away, all it takes is Jesus. He's there. He is there. He is there. He always expects us to make that move towards him. I taught Wednesday night on the difference between relationship and fellowship, that we are in relationship with him because of the blood of Jesus, what Jesus did on the cross. And we talked about the prodigal son Wednesday night, about how, you know, that prodigal son was still the son of that father, even though he had he had squandered all that money and everything else. But when he came back, he had fallen out of fellowship. You know, he wasn't talking. You know, fellowship is our responsibility. The word says draw close to God and he will draw close to you. I believe Mary was a worshiper of God. When you see what she writes over here a few verses later, and what Mary says when she begins to understand the magnitude of what's happening to her, she's not bellyaching. She's not complaining. She is praising God. Oh, that we would all get a handle on what God is really doing in our lives, because it will cause us to praise him. Talk to me about that, Connie, and then Betty. Woo!
You can't help but praise him because you just feel, you know, like... like doing a million, okay, maybe not a million, but jumping jacks or, you know, jumping around.
You were sure singing and hooping and hollering today, weren't you, praising God?
Yeah.
So, Betty, don't you think Mary was a praiser?
Oh, most definitely. And I think that she probably raised her hands.
Oh, yeah.
She probably maybe did, you know, maybe danced in the spirit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she did because she was so joyful. And I think even in some cases when, even in today, when a mom is pregnant, she rejoices because there's life.
Right.
You know, there's a life living inside. And all blessings come from above.
Amen.
And Mary knew that. Mary knew that she was blessed, blessed beyond measure. And she was just, I think she was just a very, very, very thankful person that she was given the gift that would keep on giving.
Oh, absolutely. And when you look over at Luke chapter 1 about verse, I think maybe it's 37, Mary says, as after the angel's talking to her, Mary says, yes, I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. You know, she saw what God was going to do through her, because he said the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. Up a few verses, about verse 35. The power of the highest will hover over you. Therefore, the child you bring to birth will be called Holy, Son of God. And instead of saying, like Zechariah had done earlier in this chapter, Luke 1, instead of Zechariah going, that can't be, you know, Elizabeth's old, I'm old. We're, you know, we're way old, you know, and we're not cute. And he's shriveled up, little prunes. And, you know, instead of telling God why it couldn't be like Zachariah did, Mary goes, I see it now. That's where we have to be, Betty. We got to be at a point in our lives where we're saying, okay, God, I see you're working in my life. I see it now. Praise God. I'm going to embrace it and I'm going to go with it.
Oh, it's like one of those things where, you know, those commercials that goes, gosh, I could have had a V8.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like that.
And you kind of, you know, maybe hit your forehead and the Lord's knocking you on the back of the head very kindly but gentle, trying to get your attention.
It's you should have had vegetables, yeah.
That's right. You should have ate vegetables instead of that whole cake or pie that you just ate.
Bill Stone, talk about what I just ate at our church dinner.
I won't tell you what I ate either, but
okay.
It all boiled down to that Mary was just, her zeal was just out of, I mean, just skyrocketing. I mean, it would almost be like fireworks going off when she praised God because she was the one that was chosen.
Amen.
To carry the Son of God. And I think that, you know, when the Holy Spirit came upon her, she was just, I mean, it's just like us. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it's just like you're almost like you're floating around in a bubble.
Oh.
You're floating around in a balloon or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You just feel so light and so airy, and all you want to do is just praise God. And when you come through a storm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like you just did.
Yeah, yeah, like we did, and like other people have encountered, I'm sure, this week, that when you come out of that storm, you think, you look at yourself and you think, well, I'm still breathing.
Right.
You know, my heart is still beating.
Right.
But my heart feels lighter.
Right.
Because the man that made the heavens and the earth brought me through that storm.
Ooh. That's right.
So, you know, we've got to look beyond our circumstances and realize that God is in control.
Whoa.
And it's just like Meg had I don't want to share this without her permission, but she had a...
She's going to anyway.
I'm going to anyway because I feel the Holy Spirit is just... He's prompted me to do this, and if I don't do it...
You go.
Just do it.
Just do it.
So I'm going to do it. And Megan, if you're listening, you can forgive me.
God told me to do it.
What is it you say? I'm going to say it, then I'll ask for forgiveness.
That's
later.
Right. It's a lot easier to do it that way.
She had a dream, and God does this to a lot of us, gives us a dream or a vision, or he talks to us. Well, she had a dream that she was riding in a Ford vehicle. I say it was the Escape from down in Clearwater, Florida.
Oh, that Escape?
Yeah, that Ford Escape, that little cute little vehicle.
Okay.
Riding in a Ford, and all of a sudden, she seen like a prism-like image on the edge of a woods. And whoever was driving, she asked them to stop. They stopped. She saw, again, roll down the window, and ran out of the vehicle. Whatever it was, is that prism-like, she said was Jesus.
Oh, okay. A prism, not a prison.
No, prism. P-R-I-S-M.
Like a hologram, like a
It was just like a hologram of, you couldn't really see the face, but you knew the power. Mm-hmm.
And she ran toward Jesus? Praise God.
She was running towards Jesus.
Woo,
and he told
girl.
Her, you know what he told her? Mm-hmm. Be still. And do not be afraid.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
And when she woke up, it was just like being slain in the spirit.
Wow.
That her spirit was so high that she felt like that she was just hovering. Mm. Like the Holy Spirit hovered over Mary. That Holy Spirit was just hovering over her, telling her, it's going to be okay.
Woo!
Praise God.
It's going to be okay. And that's what the Lord wants to tell the listening audience today is seek him first.
Right.
before you turn to drugs or alcohol or pornography or whatever, seek him first.
Amen.
And his kingdom. And all of these things will be added unto you. And there are multiple things that can be added to you.
Woo.
His love, his grace, his mercy. And he can bring you out of whatever you're in, whatever trouble, whatever circumstance that you're in. Believe in God. Believe in his son, Jesus, because Jesus is come to save us. He's come to make us whole. And that's what we just made mention, that the wholeness of Christ is greater than anything I can even comprehend, is that when I gave my life to Jesus, he made me whole.
Amen.
He brought me through the desert.
Into the living water. Could not be a more perfect segue for this song by the group For Him, A Strange Way to Save the World.
I'm sure he must have been surprised where this road had taken him, 'cause never in a million lives he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come alive. And Joseph said, "Why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. A strange way to save the world. To think of how it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, "Why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. And now I'm not a one to second guess what angels have a strange way to save the world. Oh, 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 oh. Now I'm not a one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world.
Praise God. What a strange way to save the world. Through a little teenage girl, a virgin, to have her impregnated by the Holy Spirit with the Son of God, God himself. Betty, this is just amazing, isn't it? Don't you love? I love that song every time we play it. It's just, it really says, what a strange way to save the world, right?
Oh, yes, and ordinary people.
Ordinary people,
They used ordinary people, just like you and I.
Absolutely.
You're a little bit more ordinary than I am, but...
How do you figure that?
we'll discuss that at another point.
But okay.
It gives you an idea that God uses ordinary people.
Yes, he does. If we're willing to be used, Betty.
Exactly. And that's where the heart comes into play, where we have to be willing servants for him. And don't worry about the cost, because he's there. And when he sends you on a mission, the mission seems impossible, but he will help you fulfill that mission.
I love what you just said there, because I want to look at Luke 1, starting with verse 38. Connie had to leave, so it's just you and I now. And did you know that your cousin Elizabeth, here's what the angel is saying to Mary after he tells her that she's going to be pregnant right away. Did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son, old as she is? Everyone called her barren, and here she is, 6 months pregnant. And then I love the next line, and this is how it reads in the Message Bible. Nothing you see is impossible with God. Our whole theme of our series for this whole month of December is this: with God, all things are possible. And I love that, because the angel says that to Mary. Nothing's impossible with God. Don't worry about it, how we're going to do it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the fact that your cousin Elizabeth, who has passed childbearing years, that she is pregnant, 6 months pregnant. And I don't think Mary knew that, because they didn't have any form of communication like texting or email, etc. I don't think they even had mail, you know, regular Pony Express. So there would be probably no way for her to know. So she found out about Elizabeth through the angel. And I love the fact that down in, after the angel leaves her, in verse 39, Mary didn't waste a minute. She got up and traveled to a town in Judah in the hill country, straight to Zechariah's house, and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leaped. She was filled with the Holy Spirit and sang out exuberantly. And Elizabeth now starts praising God and prophesying. And I find it fascinating that Mary not only believed, but she put some action behind her belief. Betty, talk to me about that. That, to me, is critical here.
Well, I think that she was, you know, she was walking the talk and walk the walk.
Right.
Because she knew that, you know, when you have a blessing, all you want to do is share it.
Woo, yeah.
And you want to bless someone else.
Right.
And that you want to give them joy and give it abundantly.
Right.
And when she heard this, it was just like they both were filled with the Holy, you know, she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they rejoiced together.
Yes.
Ooh. And what more of a blessing to know that after many years of not being able to conceive, and now Mary is with child, and now they both are, and it's like, it's almost like, wow, you know, it was one of those things where you would just want to scream at the top of your lungs, because when you think, hear the word exuberantly, I mean, this is off the wall, people. This is just, you know, praising God, raising
yes,
your hands,
yes,
singing, and giving God the glory.
Well, I think it's so cool that Mary didn't waste a minute, it says in the Message Bible there. She got up and traveled. So I think, because at the end of verse 38, I believe, is when the Holy Spirit came upon her. Now, we don't know exactly, but then the angel left her. And I think at that point, she knew she was pregnant, you know, and she ran to Elizabeth. I mean, she knew sometime in this few minutes, she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. At what point, it doesn't really matter. But the point is that when she knew, and the angel said, nothing's impossible with God, she takes action and goes to Elizabeth, who she knew would be excited about her pregnancy as much as Elizabeth was excited about her own. She went to a person of faith. Betty talked to me about that. She didn't go to the ordinary person. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, you want to... It's just like if I was in a situation where I had... It was just like me sharing with you, Megan sharing with you,
right,
the exuberant news that you just wanted to tell 10,000 people.
Sure.
Because you were so overcome with joy.
Look what God's done. Woo!
Oh, yes. Look what he's done. You know, if he can do it for me.
Yes.
He can do it for you.
Yes.
And sometimes that increases people's faith in God that had no faith at all. Because of maybe a trial or a circumstance that they had been going through. And it gives them, again, the size of a mustard seed, that much faith that can cause something to blossom and bloom into something great.
Oh, amen. Woo. Amen. And Mary just takes it. When the angel says, you're going to carry the Son of God, she takes it, believes it, and runs with it, literally runs with it, to the village where Zachariah and Elizabeth lived. So we don't even know how far she ran. But, I mean, here she is newly pregnant, and she runs. She runs with this news. I mean, she cannot wait to tell somebody. Betty, I know there are people in our lives that are naysayers, and when we get a miracle or a healing or an answer to prayer, and we tell them, oh, this is what God did, they start in with, well, I don't think that was God. That's just what happens, you know, in life. And or how could that be God? And really just naysayers. You know what I mean by that?
Yes. In fact, would you believe that happened?
Okay.
That happened this week. And it's like, it's almost like they were saying God did miracles back in the, you know, back in biblical times. God doesn't do miracles today.
Oh, he so
and
does.
It's like, excuse me?
Excuse me, you're wrong.
And that's where you just want to run up to him, look at him, and say, I want to tell you a little story.
Yeah.
I want to kind of set you straight on that, because you see, God's performing a miracle in me.
Right.
And God can do the same for you.
Right.
If only you would believe.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I hope that at some point with these naysayers, that when you plant that seed, that it grows.
Yes.
And that it turns them around and makes them want to become just as jubilant and as exuberantly, tastefully joyful.
Tastefully joyful.
You? Tastefully joyful.
Okay.
That you will see a miracle in your life, if only you believe. And it can happen. It can happen in the blink of an eye. It may take a few days. It may take a few weeks. You may not come to see this miracle to come to fruition for many, 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 many days. But you still have to have faith. And
trust,
believe,
yes,
that God's promises are true.
Amen. We got to trust him, and then we got to obey. Listen to the song by Big Daddy Weave.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Delights of his love until all.
song that a lot of us grew up singing in church, just with a new sound to it by Big Daddy Weave. Hey, Betty, trust and obey. Did Mary and Joseph not trust and obey?
Oh, yes, to the nth degree.
They sure did.
And, you know, when he chose, when God chose them, he knew that he could trust them.
Right.
Because he knew that they would obey him.
Amen.
And I think that maybe from their lives growing up, that they were an example of a blessing to him, that he saw their hearts.
He did.
He knew that they were true, and he knew that they would fulfill the mission that he had for them.
Amen. He saw that. And, you know, he sees that in us today, Betty. And I think so often people in general, just speak in general, let God down on what he sees for our lives, his plan for us. So often we just miss it. We blow it over and over and over again. Of course, he never quits loving us, and he's never mad. And but, I mean, we don't live up to our potential so very often, do you think?
Well, I can be the first one that can say, "Hey, yeah, you know, Pastor, you're speaking to me," because we are human,
right?
And we have a tendency now to veer off of the path that he has laid before us,
right?
And when we get off that path, the road gets a little bit rough. There's a lot more turns and curves than what we had anticipated,
right?
But once he gets us back into the fold, he gets us back to where we're back to obedience, we're back to where we need to be, then there's a course correction.
I like that, a course correction. And I've had some in my life, haven't you? I've had tons of them, actually.
Yeah. In fact, several this week, in fact.
Oh, okay.
That it's the total trust and obedience that Mary and Joseph both had to know that God had given them a miracle. And God was going to fulfill the prophecies. And he was going to fulfill the promise that he made back even in the Old Testament, you know, through the prophecies that were made of the Son of God. It's amazing to me that today that people don't see that miracle.
Right.
That it's turned into, you know, the Christ is the, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season. And that has become so thing of the past, is that we have got to get back to know that Jesus is the reason for the season.
Amen. 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 And that his plan for our lives, like his plan for Mary and Joseph, like his plan for the birth of Jesus, is a perfect plan. He knows what is best for you and for me. He knows. He puts you in people's lives and puts people in our lives for reasons, don't you believe?
Oh, yes. And we have this inert, the way that we react when we do that shows the Lord, I just put her in a situation and she reacted just the way that I wanted her to react.
He's got to be proud of us.
Yes. I mean, he's probably going, yes, you know,
exactly.
You know, touchdown.
Right.
She did exactly what I wanted her to do, because she gave someone, she stayed on course, and I told her this is what I wanted her to do, and she did it. And I think that's what God, you know, through angels and the Holy Spirit has told Mary. Is Mary, this is what I want you to do, because I know that you will see it to the end. You will see the fruits of that. It's going to happen because I am the Jesus, that the God that said that he would do this. That's one of my promises. And I think that's where we have to grasp on, Pastor, to the promises of what God has made.
Amen.
They're in the Bible.
Well, he's not just a promise maker. He's a promise keeper.
Promise
he keeps them.
Exactly,
yes.
Exactly. And he's going to do exactly what he says he's going to do.
Amen,
and that's
sister.
That's where we have to have that faith and the trust to know that he will see it. He will see it through.
Which takes me back to Luke 1:38 and Mary's own words. Yes, I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be done with me just as you say. I love that verse right there, verse 38, because it really, really declares Mary's attitude in her heart. Okay, I see it. I see. We're going, this is going to be weird. I'm a young girl. I'm pregnant, or was happening right then, pregnant with the Holy Spirit. You told me it happened. I see it. I believe it. I see the journey that I'm going to take through this life. I mean, think about it. She sat there, I think, in the presence of that angel and immediately realized the impact, and maybe not fully because, I mean, this is huge news for a 13 or 14-year-old girl, but the impact that she was carrying the Son of God. I mean, whoa. And then she says, be it done to me according to your word. I mean, in other words, she got into permission and agreement. Maybe it was right then that the Holy Spirit came on her when she said, be it done to me according to your word. She gave permission. She got in line with God's perfect will for her life. And then the Holy Spirit could move forward because he had her agreement. This is very important, Betty. I think a whole lot of people miss out on so many blessings because they never fall into agreement with God's plan and purpose for their lives. That's my statement. That's what I believe.
All right, and you're sticking to it, aren't you?
I'm sticking to it.
All right. You have, Mary was given, because she was a servant of the Lord. The servant will do whatever the Lord ask you to do.
Right.
There's no spirit of timidity. Mary, at this point, from this point on, did not care what people thought of her.
No, she didn't.
No. Now, I believe that. I believe that she was so encompassed with the life that was in her.
The mission.
Was the mission, and the child within her was going to give other people life and give it more abundantly. She knew that at some point, I think she knew the gift that she was given at that point, that she was going to praise God no matter what, no matter what the people on the sidelines were saying, or they were gossiping about her. This can't happen. You're talking about the soothsayers. Is that She was going on and keeping on doing what God had told her to do.
Amen.
No matter what anyone else thought or said about her.
Exactly.
Because she was on a mission, and she was going to complete it, because after she knew the completion of that, again, she was giving, God had given her the gift of life.
Oh, absolutely. And can you imagine 33 years later, standing at the cross, the foot of the cross, where her son, the Son of God, was taking all of our sins and sicknesses in his body on the cross. And I would imagine she was not only sad and heartbroken, but she was also thrilled that it had come full circle, this plan of God. And here he was hanging there on the cross, being the Savior of the world. That was his name, Jesus Saves. That's his name. His name means five things. Jesus means salvation, deliverer, safety, helper, and prosperer. That's who he is. That's the fivefold meaning, which, by the way, five is the number of grace in the word. I'm going to give you those again. His name was Yeshua in the Greek, which means God our Savior, Jesus our Savior, and it meant five things. He is our salvation, our deliverance, our deliverer, our safety. That's cool. When you get on the road or in your bad situation, he's your safety.
Amen.
Okay, your helper. Oh, gosh, we need that every single day. And prosperer.
Amen.
Whatever you're going through financially, some of you right now, God is your prosperer. And call on the name of Jesus. His name means prosperer. So I really think, Betty, as she stood at the foot of that cross and looked up at the Son of God, who was also her earthly son, that there was a joy deep within her because the plan had come full circle. Mm-hmm. And she had stayed faithful. And she had been the mother to that man, to that young boy. And she had done what God asked for her to do. Be it done to me according to your word. And there she was, standing at the foot of the cross, thinking, it happened. We're here, full circle. He has taken the sins and sicknesses in his body on the cross. My mission is complete. Ugh.
Well, I think in that song that you played at the beginning of the show, you know, Mary, did you know?
Yeah.
That your baby boy would save the world. I mean, I'm paraphrasing it.
I love that song.
But, you know, oh, I do too. In fact, I ran that song through my mind several times this week. We heard it at Sunday at our service and then again here on the radio. And that when she kissed the face of that baby, she was kissing
the Son of God. Wow.
And I still, to this, I've never had a son. I have a wonderful daughter. It would be so hard for me, and it would be for you, that if your boys, Ryan and Mark, were in that situation of how you would feel if they were chosen
right.
to be and sacrifice.
Right. I can't imagine how Mary felt. Can you?
I can't imagine. I can't even to this day imagine how she felt. But I think, Pastor, that she knew what was transpiring as
right.
she saw the events happening, you know, through the New Testament, that she knew that, you know, being a carpenter, raising him, seeing what he did, seeing how much people loved him, how people followed him, that I think she knew that at some point that he was the ultimate sacrifice.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Cedric, let's go back to track three and play it again. Mary, did you know? And then we'll talk about it on the other side.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels try? When you've kissed your little baby, then you've kissed the face of God. Is the great I
Wow, love that song. Go with us to Luke 1, starting in verse 46, and hear what Mary said after Elizabeth greeted her. And Elizabeth was just praising God. Actually, let's go to verse 45, because Elizabeth says to Mary, "Blessed woman who believed what God said, believed every word would come true." Guys, you want to be more blessed in your life? Believe what God said to you. Believe his promises. Believe what he speaks to you. Now here's what Mary said. "I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one good look at me and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth." She didn't see this as a thing that people were going to talk about her and gossip about her. She says she's the most fortunate woman on earth. "What God has done for me will never be forgotten." Here we are over 2,000 years later, still talking about it. "The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others. His mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him." And then she goes on to talk about his mercy. Oh, Betty, Mary, as young as she was, had a handle on the true nature of God. She understood that God is full of mercy, which means we don't get what we deserve. He's not a God of punishment. He's a God of mercy and grace, you know?
That's what he promises for all of us.
Amen.
And I think that being a mom, that you're bursting with pride anyway.
Yeah.
And that you have this exhilaration to want to tell everyone, you know, you can also see that you're with child, but you also have this exuberance, this exhilaration to want to share the good things that are happening to you.
Right.
When she was so overcome, and I mean overcome with joy to the point of overflowing,
woo,
that she just wanted to say, "I am the mother of the King of Kings and
yes,
the Lord of Lords."
Right.
And how, I mean, if there was a way to do it today, she probably would have had a bullhorn. She would have stood on the top of the mountain. She would have had every television, you know, set to, you know,
right,
what she had to say, because she was that
excited,
overcome,
yes,
with joy.
Woo! She was. And I find it interesting, down in verse 56, that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. That was until the birth of John the Baptist. And then went back to her own home. I find it very interesting here. Here's these two, Elizabeth and Mary, cousins. They are praising God together. They both understand what God is doing here. Elizabeth being the mother of John the Baptist, who will be the forerunner of the Messiah. And Mary coming just a few months behind her, carrying the Messiah himself, Jesus. And I think it's so cool that Mary went to Elizabeth. They both had a miracle. They both had unity of purpose, and they were rejoicing together. I think those 3 months must have been a big old party. That's what I think.
Oh, I tell you what, they were, I think they were dancing with joy.
I agree.
That they were so overcome with emotion.
Yeah.
And when that emotion overtakes a woman, especially when she's with child,
right,
is that you just feel like that you could just explode and explode with joyfulness and
right,
with triumphant joy and love and
praise,
heartfelt.
Yes.
Now this was heartfelt praise.
Woo! And that's where God wants us. Listen to this song. I'll be back to you in a minute, Betty, from Casting Crowns. I heard the bells on Christmas Day.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play, and mild and sweet their songs repeat, of peace
peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing like a choir they're singing. In my heart I hear them. Peace on earth. Despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth.
Jesus came to give us. He is the Prince of Peace. Peace on earth. Peace. Peace on earth. Betty, that's what it's all about. And I think we struggle and struggle with life, trials, problems, bad news, all kinds of stuff. And God says, I came to give you peace. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Woo! Peace on earth. I love that.
Oh, that is a very awesome song. In fact, that's the couple of the songs is the first time I've heard that song.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, yes. I love Casting Crowns, but I've not heard that one. You know, it all boils down to, Pastor, is that we've got to give everything that we have to the Lord.
Yes.
No matter how big or how small.
Right.
We have got to lay it down.
Yeah.
And pick up the peace that passes all understanding.
Absolutely. It's the anxiety that just drives us crazy, doesn't it? The anxiety, the doubt, the worry, the fear, all of that. And just, it can be all consuming.
Oh, most definitely. And I know, you know, people that are facing obstacles that they've never faced before. I know the man, I know the person that can take those obstacles and just totally make them go away. But we have to believe. We have to have hope. The hope in things that we have, the hope in Jesus Christ is stronger than any of our troubles, trials, or tribulations.
Right.
If even in sickness, He's our healer.
Right.
When we worry, He takes all of that away. And what we have to realize too, Pastor, is that the worry, the doubt, and the fear does not come from the Lord.
Right.
We have to recognize that above all, is that He is the God that delivers us, that that is the light. That
Amen.
Is the light that overcomes the darkness.
Amen.
The darkness is the worry, doubt, and the fear.
Yes.
And we have to push that aside, even if we can't even mutter anything but the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It will set us free.
Because that's where the power is anyway, because His
Amen.
Name means Savior, Deliverer, Safety, Helper, Prosperer. That's what His name means. So when you're calling on Him and calling out His name, you're calling on the Savior. You're calling on the one who's going to deliver you out of the mess you're in. You're calling on one that's going to protect you in the midst of a hard, difficult thing, a helper, somebody who's going to help you see through the problem and get to the other side, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it seems like, you know, even when you were talking about safety, is that God is our lifesaver.
Yes.
And when I say that, I mean He saves our life.
Amen.
That He's if God be for us, people, who can be against us?
Amen.
We're a mighty moving force.
Right.
In God's kingdom, and that's what He wants us to be, as a mighty force, because if we have the power of God inside of us, He is going to give us salvation. He's going to give us deliverance from worry, doubt, and fear. He is going to be the safety net that we need. He is going to be our helper in a time of need. He is going to prosper us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Woo.
So those five things right there.
Yeah.
We have to understand He's all we need.
He's all we need.
Pastor. He's all we need.
I woke up the other morning singing that old song, He's All I Need. I mean, that's an old one, you know?
Yeah,
but I
yeah.
was just walking around the house singing that, and that's the truth. If there's anybody out in our Radio Land audience today or later, as you listen to this broadcast on our website, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, we're going to give you an opportunity right now to pray the prayer. Betty, I'm going to say it. Betty's going to repeat it phrase by phrase. Pray along with Betty. And we're going to agree right now that if you have not, or maybe you never understood it when you did pray it a long time ago, but if you have not accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, now, this moment, it is your moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the precious name of Jesus.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus.
And Lord, we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
And we believe that the Lord is the Son of God.
Amen. We believe that God allowed Jesus to die on a cross for our sins and sicknesses.
And we believe that God allowed Jesus to die on the cross for our diseases and sicknesses.
And we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
And we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
And we declare right now that we accept the blood of Jesus.
And we accept right now the blood of Jesus.
As the ultimate sacrifice for our sins and sicknesses.
As the ultimate sacrifice for our diseases and sicknesses.
So, Lord, I ask you right now to come into my heart.
And, Lord, I ask you right now, come into my heart.
Forgive me for anything and everything I've ever said or done.
Oh, Lord, forgive me for everything and anything that I've ever done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
I accept you now as my Lord and Savior.
I accept you now as my Lord and Savior.
By the blood of Jesus.
Oh, by the blood of Jesus.
And we are now in relationship.
And we are now in relationship.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Okay, Betty, it's been a joy to have you on with us this day. It always is, and Connie, too. If you prayed that prayer and want to talk to somebody, you can write me personally, Pastor at Beacon. Well, you can do that, too. Pastor at BOHMGlobal.com. Or if you have the old email in your computer, it'll work, too. Pastor at BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. And feel free to reach out. I will answer you and talk with you. If you have a prayer request, call, just not call, I'm sorry, write on your email prayers@bohmglobal.com. I am all tongue-tied here, Betty. prayers@bohmglobal.com and send your request in, and we will see that the prayer team prays for it. Betty, a final thought. We're just about out.
One of the things that we need to remember during this time, that Jesus Christ now, is the reason for this season.
Amen.
When he gave his life, he gave the ultimate gift.
Amen. That's it.
The gift of life.
That's it. Amen. Thank you, Betty. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and you'll learn all about the ministry in Clearwater and our global outreach. Our services in Clearwater are 10:30 on Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. We invite you to join us. Wednesday night is Bible study. Bring your Bible and a notebook, and you will be amazed at what you'll learn. Sunday morning is a worship service with preaching, and that's 10:30. So we hope to see you soon at one of our services. It's not far to Jesus. This has been Pastor Marcia, Connie, and Betty sharing the Word of God with you this day. God bless you. We're going to see you next week live at this same time, 3 o'clock Tampa time. Tell a friend or a relative to tune in with you. God bless you. Have a great week.
Loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.